Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
It's been almost 3,000 years, and Greek mythology has proved that it is not going anywhere. But it can be difficult to find entertaining and engaging retellings of these myths that aren't fictionalized. Lucky for you, I'm here. Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the Greek mythology and ancient history podcast of your dreams. I dive into the convoluted and confusing ancient sources so you don't have to. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ridiculous History is a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome back to the show, Ridiculous Historians. Thank you, as always, so much for tuning in. For those of us in the crowd who celebrate Easter, happy Easter in classic Ridiculous History fashion. We are getting to you a little bit after the actual thing.
Cuckoo ca-choo.
Cuckoo ca-choo, indeed.
I'm the Eggman.
Is the cuckoo ca-choo replacing the oorah?
I'm going to try a different one on for size every now and again. But no, Goo Goo Gajoob, often I thought for the years, I thought it was Cuckoo Ca-choo. It is, in fact, Goo Goo Gajoob. And it refers to the... Yeah,
wait, is that true?
It is true. It's Goo Goo Gajoob. Yeah. And refers to the...
I've been sounding like a total boob for 33 years now.
Yeah. Well, no, same. But I think I saw it printed or something, or I watched Magical Mystery Tour and the subtitles were on. I was like, what's that then? But, you know, and of course, you're referring to... The Eggman. He is the Eggman. What's that about? It turns out that the origins of Easter are about as nonsensical as a Beatles lyric.
Well, that's a shout out to our super producer, Max the Eggman Williams. I am Ben Bullen. With me, as always, is the one and only, the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Noel Brown.
Hello.
And we are talking about Easter. It's been on people's minds for a while. I recently sent you guys a text as a non-Christian, to be clear. I am always perplexed by Easter, by the religious syncretism involved. And I sent you guys a text when I was, I can't say specifically where, but I was out of Atlanta and I saw someone dressed up in the Easter Bunny garb. And what I love about Easter in the United States is it's like a new seasonal cryptid just dropped, you know?
Totally. Yeah. I mean, and it's a living too. You know, there are people that I've actually got a dear friend who for a period of time was a mall Easter bunny, which is a, you know, a way to make some seasonal scratch. Question, guys, is Totoro of My Neighbor Totoro fame a bunny?
I don't like to put creativity in a box.
Fair. And just for the record, this is an audio podcast. I am holding up a little figurine of Totoro. I actually have these nesting dolls of the lovely Miyazaki character, who to me has always appeared to be a giant hare, rabbit, bunny of sorts. But to your point, Ben, yeah, he's much more of a cryptid in his own right. But what's with, the, you know, let's, we should talk about the hare.
Let's
you know?
Talk about
a bunch of things. The hare, paganism. Maybe we start with the pagans, huh? They kind of were first to market with this stuff, right?
Oh my gosh, spoilers, Noel. Yeah, I love it. Let's, as our pal Max says, hop along to the history of Easter. So if you grow up in the United States in particular, where in every holiday is monetized or commercialized in some way, then you know that Easter is one of ridiculous history's most baffling holidays. It moves around in the calendar, right? Like how we're always startled when Thanksgiving happens and we go, oh, snap, it's that Thursday.
Which is, I'm sorry, just again, for the folks playing along at home, which Thursday of the month is Thanksgiving again?
The fourth. It's the fourth. Fourth one. Cool. It's the fourth one. And it took us this show to learn that in our personal lives.
Which I clearly have not internalized, just for the record.
It's okay, man. I think we have an emergency group text that we send out once a year on Wednesday in advance.
Is the one we also send around the link for the YouTube video on how to tie a tie when the time becomes necessary?
So Easter is similar to Halloween, similar to Christmas. It is a culmination of ancient religious practices, schools of spiritual thought that did not always vibe together. You get to the heart of the matter here, or you get to the yolk of the egg here with the pagan idea. So let's go to Penny Travers over at the ABC, Australian Broadcasting Corporation.
Penny Travers is such a dignified sounding name to me. I don't know. I like it a lot.
I got to be honest. When I was writing this brief, looking at a couple sources I could find, but when I saw that one of them was sourced by Penny Travers, I'm like, yeah, that's the one we're using right there. Penny Travers.
Boom. It has an air of authority to it. And Penny points out that in Australia, much like in America, on Easter Sunday, there's this idea of almost in Santa Claus fashion, a creature of sorts delivering candy and chocolate eggs and perhaps brightly colored hard-boiled eggs to homes across the nation, and poses the question of how in the hell did this seemingly bizarre tradition come to be, and then points out, well, actually, as it turns out, Easter began as a pagan festival celebrating spring in the Northern Hemisphere, far before a little old thing called Christianity needed to kind of co-opt this whole season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because these celebrations are based on the passage of time, the movement of the earth in a larger context of the heavens, right? So equinoxes, solstices. As you're hearing this, fellow ridiculous historians, there is a solar eclipse on the way to you. Don't miss it. And make sure you get your glasses. Make sure you get your eclipse glasses.
Yeah, I'll say parents Williams, they are actually heading to Indianapolis.
See,
get that totality.
I only just really found out that that was such an important part of it. I guess I've never, I've only ever seen an eclipse from the less cool vantage point. But I think there's some places in Kentucky, I think, that qualify, as well as
Texas.
Little Rock, Arkansas. I have a friend who is going, like literally doing an eclipse trip. But, you know, I think the eclipse is a perfect analogy of that battle between light and darkness, you know, which if you look at it from the perspective of survival throughout the ages, you know, darkness kind of represents cold and the smothering, you know, of livelihood perhaps, or of, you know, crops and things like that. And the light, of course, represents growth and life, and all of life exists as somewhat of a continuum between the two. So I think it's an interesting thing to celebrate, because it is very much like a lot of the ancient civilizations we discuss in the show. It's almost a worship or a giving thanks for that balance, and the hopes that we won't be plunged into eternal darkness and cold.
Yeah, since prehistoric times, before the humans began to write their stuff down, everyone realized that there were certain predictable cycles to the passage of time. And let's go to University of Sydney professor Carol Cusack, quoted by Penny Travers, because I know you guys like hearing me say the name. Carol Cusack said, quote, The spring equinox is a day where the amount of dark and the amount of daylight is exactly identical. So you can tell that you are emerging from winter because the daylight and the dark have come back into balance. People mapped their whole life according to the patterns of nature. So there's this concept of celebration of spring. However, as we earlier established in shows like Stuff They Don't Want You to Know, the narrative of Jesus Christ echoes these earlier learnings, right? There is a time of darkness, a time of death, and a time of rebirth. The concept of Easter as a Christian holiday is, in the long term, honestly, guys, it's kind of recent. It dates back to the 4th century CE, the 300s.
Right. According to a website called Sheffin, around mid-300 AD, Christianity was increasing in popularity in Rome, then the center of the world. In 312, the Emperor Constantine converted to Christianity, which, as we know, was a big deal, and put an end to the ongoing persecution of Christians. But, as we often see with cultures that are trying to kind of convert others, you know, sort of subsume the history and practices of other cultures, you kind of got to ease them into it a little bit. At the very least, kind of, what's that word, Ben, where you kind of have a feature that reminds you of something old, like in design?
Skeuomorph.
Yeah, skeuomorph. This is kind of a skeuomorph where they were like, okay, pagans, we'll keep to your schedule here so that you recognize, but it's going to be a little different, but it'll still have that, you know, that familiarity to you. And then before you know it, you won't even be pagans anymore and you won't even realize how it happened.
You were always worshiping our God. You just didn't have the right vocabulary to do so, right? So that's
real bait and switch.
Yeah, very much a bait and switch. And here's how it goes down. And we'll get into the origins of the name, the etymology. We love etymology here. So shout out Ishtar and Oyster and so on. So in 325 CE, or AD, as the Vatican prefers, the boffins at this new thing called Christianity, they assemble something called the Council of Nicaea. And these are the folks who decide that the celebration of what they call Easter should fall on, all right, everybody listen closely, the Sunday after the first full moon of the spring equinox.
Yikes. That'll be easy to track.
It'll be super easy to track. What could go wrong? We got it.
Who hasn't heard names like Achilles or Odysseus, Cassandra, Medusa? But how much do you know about them from the ancient world? Let's Talk About Myths, Baby, is the podcast bringing the ancient sources to life. Greek myth and history is timeless, and unless you've been living under a rock, you have seen just how true that is today. But there is so much more to these characters and stories than what pop culture can do justice. I'm Liv Albert, the host of Let's Talk About Myths, Baby, and every week I bring you stories from the ancient world, both mythological and historical, to breathe new life into these thousands of years old stories. I'm also regularly joined by some of the most brilliant names in the field of archaeology and ancient history, authors of your favorite retellings from today, and everyone in between. Join me as I dive into the wild world of the ancient Greeks and their stories. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross.
Tiffany Cross.
I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a rotating holiday. It's based on a lunar calendar, which secular folks don't practice in the modern day.
No, and maybe there are some folks out there that are more, you know, attuned to these kinds of celestial movements that'd be like, yeah, idiot, it is easy to track. But to me, it just seems like you could lose track of it real quick. And it could be sort of up for interpretation. That's all I'm getting at there.
And so there was like a marketing thing. They were like, hey, let's tie it to our Messiah, right?
Mm-hmm.
Death, birth, renewal.
That's right. So they do that very thing. Easter Sunday is born. And they really link it with those symbols that you mentioned, Ben, and the idea of Christ is risen. You know, he is risen indeed. This is an example of what you mentioned earlier, Ben, religious syncretism. And now we're going to get into that etymology we teased a little bit. According to Britannica, the English word for Easter parallels the German word Ostern, is of very uncertain origin. And I believe, is it Ostern? No, isn't that like East?
Yeah. Yeah. Think of like Oriental.
I guess that's right. Yeah, 100%. So Ostern, but the origin of that, you know, the actual etymology is a little uncertain. But of course, when we have uncertain origins, that usually means we've got a lot of ideas. And one of these ideas came from somebody with an awesome name. First, I thought it was just the Venerable Bede in the 8th century, but his name actually apparently was Venerable with a capital B. Mm-hmm. And he believed that it was derived from basically, also probably pronounced Oster or Eostre, which is E-O-S-T-R-E and E-O-S-T-R-A-E, respectively, which was the Anglo-Saxon goddess of spring and fertility.
Which itself descends from another previous god. I mean, there's a really interesting point here, and our friends at Britannica are aware of this as well. The views of this 8th CE century historian that we're quoting or philosopher that we're quoting has an assumption inherent. It's the idea that Christians appropriated pagan names and holidays without necessarily understanding the provenance of those festivals or their cultural importance. They saw the similarities they wished to see. We would call this cherry picking in the modern day. And, you know, it's weird. There's a paradox at play because Christians in the early days and indeed, in the current evenings, we're very opposed to the idea of paganism, right? There's the one true God. There are not multiple gods. We're not polytheistic, says the Pope.
Yeah, there's the whole thing about like the people that went down to worship the golden calf and all of that. And I mean, they're made examples of, if I'm not mistaken, in the Bible, aren't they? Like, you know,
the worshipers of Moloch. Yeah,
they're like taken out by, you know, and like Sodom and Gomorrah and all this stuff. Like anyone that is perceived as being pagan is perceived as being in some way against God. Or if you want to listen to an episode about the history of the Antichrist, check out Stuff They Don't Want You to Know, where we talk about, is it the Antichrist or just being Antichrist?
It's just a bad vibe.
Yeah.
So the idea now, scholars will largely agree that the word Easter derives from a Latin phrase, albis, which was the plural of alba, which is just dawn, right? Like albatross, name for a bird. That's a Latin thing. And it translates through Old High German, which, you know, descends into German and modern English. We also have, by the way, for anybody listening along who celebrates Passover in place of Easter, guess what? It's still the same human celebration,
right,
of resurgence, of survival, basically. So Latin and Greek Pascha comes from the French word for Easter, Pasquis, and I'm not going to go too far into the Hebrew. The point you need to know is that the word Easter definitely doesn't come from the Bible nor the Torah.
100%.
Yeah. And it's a tricky holiday. You got to, what is it? The first full moon? The first Sunday after the full
first
moon?
First full moon of the, after the equinox, or of the equinox, I believe, right?
And, jeepers.
You know, Bet, I think you have also been watching, or at the very least seen some of the show Shogun on FX, which is really good. It's like a really epic, you know, sweeping kind of Game of Thrones-esque historical fiction. It's no dragons. It's real. But one thing that I found really fascinating, and I maybe hadn't seen it portrayed quite this clearly in other media, was just how, like, many of the Japanese willingly converted to Christianity, you know, and Catholicism. And that certainly is the case in other parts of the world. And I think there's something to this religious syncretism that almost is like kind of built into the ministering, or the, like, you know, what's the word when you go on a mission trip to kind of make it, hey, check it out. It's just like your thing, sort of, you know, right? It makes it a easier sell or
to
something.
Evangelize, yeah. Mm-hmm. To proselytize. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And this is a hard sell. It's a tall milkshake for some of the Christian missionaries in times past, when someone says, okay, I get it. You had a crazy good sales pitch. So when do I celebrate this Easter? And that's when the missionaries say, yeah, funny thing. We got a weird schedule for this one.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is where the two calendars kind of collide, right?
Right. Right. Yes. When worlds collide, when religions collide. So there are multiple good explanations of why this thing happens. This long story short, and happy occasional birthday to our pal Max Williams. Sometimes his birthday does occur on Easter, because birthdays in Max's tradition are based on the Gregorian calendar, but Easter is a Christian holiday. Easter is a pagan holiday wearing a Christian jacket, which is why it floats around in the calendar.
And that is because the actual date of the spring equinox can, you know, has a little bit of wiggle room, a couple of days or so on either end. The Catholic Church, however, created a fixed date of March 21st to define it, known as the ecclesiastical equinox. And the full moon that occurs just on or after March 21st is known as the Paschal or Paschal full moon. And that, I think it must be Paschal, because it derives from a Greek and Latin word Pascha, which is referring to Passover. So that means that you start to see why this can get a little bit confusing, and you have a bit of a range rather than an actual solid date of when Easter can fall. And a lot of this had to do with the clashing between the Gregorian calendar and the Julian calendar.
Yeah. So let's go to, let's talk in 2024 terms. 2024, most of modern history and going forward, you're going to find the date of Easter anywhere between March 22nd and April 25th. And this is all because our pal, Max, if we could get a sound cue. Heavy G himself, Pope Gregory XIII, he instituted the Gregorian calendar in a burst of humility. He named it the Gregorian calendar. It goes into effect in 1582, and Easter is most likely to fall on April 16th between then and between 1583 and the year 3000. But again, you see it floating around. But why this hubbub, man? It gets even more complicated.
You can't leap your brain right now, bro. Seriously.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up, Noel, because there are a lot of people, practicing Christians, who do not use the Gregorian calendar. If you're Eastern Orthodox, and shout out to you, fellow ridiculous historians practicing this, you use the Julian calendar, the preceding calendar, for your holiday observations, which means your Easter can be between April 4th or May 8th if you convert it to the Gregorian calendar. It's like Celsius and Fahrenheit. If I was an alien landing on this planet, I would be like, why? Just pick a day. Just pick like the same day. It's complicated, but it wasn't always so. It's been a complex matter for thousands of years because they're trying to reconcile, I would say, the intricacies between the solar and lunar cycles, which are ultimately the calendars of humanity.
And I gotta say, I mean, I've been in conversation just with friends. I'm like, so we did an episode on leap year, and I still don't really understand how it works. And they're like, well, what's the gist? I'm like, this is how I'm going to try to describe interest. It. Compound. Well, yeah, it's just the idea of a mistake that was made long ago that, if left unchecked, would cause all of the recorded stuff from history to not be in a discernible schedule. Let's just say, like, we couldn't call out dates and have them line up with dates that other people think things happened on, right?
Right.
Okay, cool. I guess maybe I do get it.
And to jump in here, I mean, it is also important to remember the reason they changed the Julian calendar for the Gregorian calendar was to make sure Easter didn't end up.
That's right. So that's why this is so important, because, you know, this is where how religion and functional things that affect even the non-religious of us all completely intersect.
It's like network programming. You don't want competing programs.
Right. And see, here's the funniest thing, though, was the error between the Julian calendar and the Gregorian calendar was so much smaller than other errors had ever been. But it was just this one motivating factor, because it was like 10 or 11 days off. Which, if you remember, like, when they went from like the Roman calendar to the Julian, it was like months off, and they were just randomly putting more days in that time and stuff.
I remember I was there. It was terrible. It was also hilarious. It was back in the day. I mean, okay, let's get to the big question. Guys, our fellow ridiculous historians, some of whom may have had to wear rabbit costumes today this past weekend, they're wondering, what's the deal with the rabbit?
Who hasn't heard names like Achilles or Odysseus, Cassandra, Medusa? But how much do you know about them from the ancient world? Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the podcast bringing the ancient sources to life. Greek myth and history is timeless, and unless you've been living under a rock, you have seen just how true that is today. But there is so much more to these characters and stories than what pop culture can do justice. I'm Liv Albert, the host of Let's Talk About Myths, Baby, and every week I bring you stories from the ancient world, both mythological and historical, to breathe new life into these thousands of years old stories. I'm also regularly joined by some of the most brilliant names in the field of archaeology and ancient history, authors of your favorite retellings from today, and everyone in between. Join me as I dive into the wild world of the ancient Greeks and their stories. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation. I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now? Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Also, what's the deal with the eggs? Why is there this anthropomorphic rabbit that hides eggs that are oftentimes not human or not, you know, actual eggs? They're plastic eggs now with little treats inside them. Why is that a thing? Is that what Jesus Christ would have wanted?
I think so. Who are we to say what he would have wanted?
Yeah.
It's just as likely that as anything else.
Right. He didn't shout it out too much, but but we have the answer with the eggs.
We certainly do. And, you know, even without doing the research, you can kind of figure out a little bit of why this might have been. What is it? What did the pagan version of Easter represent? What does the Christian version of Easter represent? It's all about rebirth. You know, it's all about new life, right? And what better to represent that than with a little old egg.
Yeah. And let us keep in mind, for anyone who's read the fantastic book Watership Down, the hare, the rabbit, the prince with a thousand enemies, the primary evolutionary adaptation of the rabbit is not to fight. It is to reproduce.
It's the other F word.
To breed like rabbits. The other F word. Just so. And so it is no surprise that for a long time, the egg and the rabbit have represented to humans the idea of reproduction, of thriving, of rebirth, and birth in general. So we know this because during the Neolithic age in Europe and indeed Central Asia and the Near East, you would find burial sites with ancient humans who had been buried with rabbits, with hares, as they would call them in Europe, as a way of symbolizing a passage, a rebirth, a resurgence. And then if you go, the Neolithic age was a long time ago. It's like the way we look at the 1990s now.
Stop it.
It's weird. It's true, though. So over 1,000 years after the Neolithic age, during the Iron Age we would see that there was this high regard for rabbits. You wouldn't eat a rabbit due to its religious significance. At least people like Julius Caesar talk trash about people in what we call Britain today. It was like, what? These guys don't even eat rabbits because they got some weird religion about them?
You ever eaten rabbit? I bet you have.
Yes, I have.
It's good. It's lean. It definitely has a good, what do they call it? A gamey kind of quality to it. But yeah, they're big boys. These hares, too, were sacred to Aphrodite, the goddess of love. Like you said, they represent fertility, fleet-footedness, and I guess just general kind of, I don't know, life. Because they are such vital creatures. Aphrodite's son Eros was often depicted carrying one around, like a familiar. I don't think slung over his shoulder like a carcass, as a symbol of unquenchable desire. And in the Greek world, throughout the Renaissance, you often see hares depicted in art as symbols of that kind of, you know, vitality and sexuality, as well as in literature. The Virgin Mary, actually, in this era, often is seen with a rabbit in tow.
Yeah.
That's more about, I believe, overcoming desire and sort of having it in check.
Yeah, because it's a white rabbit or white hare, and it's... It's cool. There's this symbolic shorthand throughout Western visual art, right? Depicting these things. We should get, we should do an episode on why there are weird snails in Western art, why there are, you know, like Hieronymus Bosch alone, you know, that's a cool thing we should look into. You nailed it, Noel, with the idea of rabbit as shorthand for virility or the denial thereof. What we see, though, is that the connection between this rabbit, this bunny idea, and the concept of Easter comes much more recently. It isn't until like the 1500s, 1600s in Germany that we see the idea of children hunting for Easter eggs hidden by the Easter rabbit. So that, like, it sounds as though it is very, very distant in history, but we have to recognize that in the larger context, that is quite recent. You can see written accounts from England around the same time that also mention this Easter rabbit, and they talk about not just hunting Easter eggs, they talk about hunting actual hares, actual rabbits, and then eating them, consuming them at Easter. This is where we go to something called the hare pie scramble.
The hare pie scramble. We're going to get into eggs.
It's not
an IHOP later.
Dish,
I know,
thing.
Dude. We're going to get into some serious scrambles later. But the moment I heard that, I was like, oh, is this some kind of like rabbit fricassee frittata situation?
I'm on board. Yeah. I'm in. Make it a quesadilla.
Too. Oh, please. By the way, can I just say that, you know, there's a musical called Hair, spelled H-A-I-R, and it's about like hippies, you know, in the 60s.
Yeah.
There's also a musical about a giant rabbit that is an imaginary friend. I believe it might have started off as a play or a movie and then was made into a musical. For the longest time, I confused those two and thought Hair was the one about the giant rabbit. And it's not. I think it's Harvey. Sorry. Harvey is the giant rabbit.
That's right.
Hair, H-A-I-R, is about hippies. But today we're talking about the Hair Pie Scramble, which was held at Hallaton, a village in, let's call it Leicestershire. I think that's right. In England, of course. And that involved eating a pie. It was made with hare meat, but no eggs, no scramble. While people kind of, I don't know, fought it out for a piece of the pie.
Yeah, they were quote unquote scrambling for a slice. And just as people of yesteryear fought against what they saw as the pagan traditions of Halloween or other harvest festivals, there were local religious authorities who were fighting against the current celebration of Easter, which again, as I said at the top, has been very commodified and monetized. In 1790, there was this English guy, he was a parson over at Hallaton, and he said, "Oi, what's all this then? You guys got to stop eating these, you guys got to stop scrambling for this rabbit pie. This is not what Christianity is about." And everybody said, "Boo, boo unto you.
Put them in the pie.
Put them in your pie." And the custom continues to this day.
Dude, I'm sure y'all have heard of the idea of, like, you know, in the, I guess, the more dark ages, the idea of baking live birds into a pie or putting birds into, of course, there's that 4 and 20 black birds. I saw a thing about it on Instagram the other day, and it occurred to me, wouldn't those birds just, like, crap all in the pie and just, like, render it completely inedible just for the purposes of, look at the birds?
Yeah, yeah. We usually starve them before we put them in the pie.
You did. You and your, what, cadre of Illuminati?
The 4 and 20.
Fair. No. Yeah. But no, this is these kinds of very old English type stuff here. Mm-hmm. It's almost like a cakewalk.
But there it is. Yeah, a little bit.
I mean, a little bit, right?
Yeah. And this idea of eating the hair, it's a way to navigate and approach mortality, is it not? Like the eating of the hair, the fantastically reproductive animal, you could associate that with folk traditions of scaring away witches at Easter, with a shout out to Tok Thompson, T-O-K Thompson, for Smithsonian Magazine. You can see there was this long-standing belief that witches, warlocks, whatever you want to call them, would shapeshift and take the form of a hare and do what we would call Dennis the Menace-level mischief, right? They would steal milk from your cows. They would also, you know, I guess it's weird to think of this in the same way you would think of werewolves, right? Or Unseelie.
Totally.
Like the fair folk. Like they would apparently hop into your house undercover at night. We're an audio show, so I'm doing like a little rabbit hop.
Yeah, he's got little hooves. So you know, the little kind of.
But he's floppity for evil. And they thought these witches would suck out the life energy of sleeping people and deliver unto them some sort of infection, a sickness, possibly a contagion. So if you're eating the rabbit, then you might be eating a witch. You're taking their power.
It kind of reminds me of the chupacabra a little bit, the old goat sucker.
Yeah, nice. Right? Yeah.
A little bit. And the funny thing is like a lot of these kind of fables or folkloric kind of explanations of phenomena, there's a lot of commonalities between cultures in terms of like the types of things that are trying to be explained.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if we look at this context, then what we find is the idea of the spring equinox is symbolically in opposition to the idea of life draining or death or mortality, the witches, the hard winter, what is it? What do they call it in Song of Ice and Fire, Game of Thrones?
I think maybe just the long night.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah.
But again, we talked about this at the top, that this struggle between light and dark and heat and fire and ice and all that stuff. Tale as old as time. Yeah. Classic, you know, fodder for these sort of like massive epic tales. And it's because it all dates back to the idea of, you know, kind of fearing, like living in a time where you weren't sure if the lights were ever going to come back on and just praying that they would. And that usually involved worshiping some sort of deity. And these crafty Christians just sort of co-opted all of this stuff and replaced, you know, some sort of light and darkness or winter and summer deity with good old Jesus Christ, who kind of represented it all. He was sort of a catch-all for this stuff. Like you said, before these folks knew it, folks who'd been practicing other kinds of religions, they were Christian. You know?
They just didn't have the words. So let us take over your country and extract all the resources. Look, history is long. It is continuing. If you are listening to this show today, then you are one of the authors of what people will call history in the future. And with that, we must acknowledge that the celebration of Easter is indeed a global phenomenon.
Totally.
Noel, Max, what if we end today's episode with some shout outs around the world to celebrations of Easter? Because just like Christmas, just like Halloween, not every country nor region celebrates Easter in the same way.
Right. And, you know, we led off today with some excellent perspective from an Australian writer whose name we love, Penny Travers. It turns out in Penny's country, there is a tradition that is designed to raise awareness for the dwindling population of one of these one of myriad bizarre, at least, you know, to us, looking creatures, wonderful, you know, stuff that seems like it belongs out of a fantasy novel, something called the bilby, which is a tiny marsupial whose numbers have been in danger. And so chocolatiers in Australia have taken to, instead of an Easter bunny, they're rocking the Easter bilby and crafting chocolate into, you know, little effigies, I guess, edible effigies of these little rabbit-sized creatures.
Love it. Love it. And if you are still caught on the eggs, folks, if you're like, guys, I've heard too much about rabbits today, I need some eggs in my Easter, then you want to go to France. On the Monday after Easter, whichever arcane time that is in your neck of the woods, there is a town called Haux, H-A-U-X, and they will make a gigantic, like, Guinness World Record level omelet. 4,500 eggs into this pan. They make an omelet. They serve over 1,000 people every year. Each family contributes. They crowdsource this. It's a beautiful thing. They break the eggs in their home in the morning. They gather in the main square. They make this omelet. And if you've never been to France, if you've only had an omelet in one country, gotta tell you, the top level omelet technology in the world is France and Japan. They're very
absolutely
good at it.
They really love their eggs in France and Japan. They also, I swear, the best of another thing that I've ever had in my life came from France, and that is butter, my friend. Unbelievable butter they got there. But, you know, there's so many different types of eggs, and I always have found it interesting and a little morbid maybe that these symbols of, you know, life and these literal vessels of life are just devoured, and it's totally fine. In fact, case in point here, it's actually almost like a respectful ritual, you know, that honors life by literally consuming it. I've always kind of felt there was a component of, like, let's take in the life force of these things, you know, into our bodies.
Mm-hmm. That's why we love an ortolan.
Oh, God, speak for yourself. I could never. My fear of birds prohibits it alone. Really quickly, though, I have to add the bilby that we talked about from Australia.
Yeah, looks they're exact, cute.
Yeah,
very cute.
It looks like Muad'Dib, if you've seen the new Dune movie, where Muad'Dib is the name that Timothy Chalamet's character takes on. It's this little desert mouse that kind of looks like a little mini kangaroo with big ears, and that is what the bilby looks like.
And if you're ever on an Easter egg hunt in Greece, you may notice something that I would not as a colorblind person. All the eggs on your Easter egg hunt in Greece are going to be colored red, or like gray for me, because red is the color of life. It, as such, is a representation of the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's where they're further syncretizing the religion. We also have a crime wave in Norway every Easter.
Yeah. Well, you know, they love, we all love, maybe not we, but folks love their true crime. They love their murder mysteries, both real and fictional. And Norway is no different. Television channels run a lot of crime specials and, you know, morbid stuff like that. And also it is a peak time for the publication of new detective novels. Just around Easter, you're going to see like a whole cavalcade of these type of procedural crime novels coming out. I don't really understand the connection there. Maybe once again, it is something to do with that birth and death cycle, and they have decided to go with the death part of it.
That's so metal.
Nice. I was going to say, Norway knows how to get metal. It was something about milk cartons, I believe, as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the milk cartons will carry short, like flash fiction detective stories in place of a missing person.
Yeah, that have been abducted for demonic rituals, no doubt.
And we don't get the milk carton. We don't get the milk carton stories anymore here in the U.S. Yeah, and this was this whole phenomenon is it originates in a crime novel from 1923 set on the Bergen Railway. What we're saying is there's a ton of fascinating history about Easter, and we have so much more to explore. In the meantime, you can check out Stuff They Don't Want You to Know. We have a YouTube video called The Surprising Origins of Easter. We have not delved into the full mythology leading to the Christian interpretation of this holiday, but we hope you had a good one. Whether or not you celebrate, people are a little bit nicer around holidays, I find. You know what I mean? Like, people are a little bit cooler.
Well, you know, this has been in the back of my head, this whole conversation, and I haven't brought it up, but I'm going to just make it my last thing.
Spit that fire.
It's just kind of interesting to me that somehow both the secular versions or, I guess, accoutrements of both Christmas, meaning Santa Claus, kind of egregious commercialism, gift giving and all of that, and Easter, just bizarro Easter bunnies and chocolate eggs and dying, you know, hard-boiled eggs and all the stuff that comes along that, are kind of also embraced by hardcore Christians. Like, there's part of me that would think that the real, you know, Christianiest of the Christian would kind of eschew a lot of that stuff and sort of turn their nose up at it. But it seems to me, at least from where I stand, that they're all about those aspects as well. Maybe because they think it's a way of getting people into the fold. You know, you start by being attracted by the Easter egg hunts, and next thing you know, you're at mass. I don't know.
Yeah. And, you know, that goes into the idea of social economy and the individual's interactions with a group, which makes me sound like a crazy academic, which perhaps I am.
You're not crazy. You've got a background for sure, man. But I just wonder, you know, all along the way in this chat, it's kind of been like, this is almost, feels to me like it still could be looked at as recruitment tools, you know, much like the whole religious syncretism was about getting people to you know, come over to their side, religiously speaking, without fully realizing what it meant. And I'm just wondering if, like, maybe Christians are cool with all this stuff, A, because it's fun, and B, because it sort of sometimes gets people in the door. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see you at youth group, folks.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, I remember going to youth group for the free tacos. That's why I went to youth group.
Sounds cool. Yeah, we've got, we have so much more to explore. We also have some commentary that may interest you about the secular origins of the depiction of Santa Claus, which is coming up on a future episode about cartoons and propaganda. No spoilers, but do please tune in. Maybe we'll do an etymology of the phrase spoilers. I think it would take us about 6 minutes. But with that, we want to give a big thanks to everybody who's tuning in. We hope that you had an excellent weekend, whether or not you celebrate some derivation of Easter. Noel, I guess we got to thank first off. We got to thank our super producer and research associate, Mr. Max Williams.
And of course, Max's brother, Alex, who composed this theme. I'd like to thank my personal Lord and Savior, JC. I'm glad he is risen. He is risen indeed. I'm sorry. I'm joking. I grew up in the church, so I'm allowed to make those jokes. And we never, poo-poo anybody's religious beliefs. Your religious beliefs are your own. This is just such an interesting trajectory. Somehow we ended up with people in bunny costumes standing on the side of the road waving at cars, which I just saw the video that you sent, and it is more than a little unsettling.
I'd also like to thank everybody who dresses up in a big rabbit costume. It means the world to me when I see you all on the streets. New seasonal cryptid just dropped. That's how I feel about it. Big, big thanks to AJ Bahamas Jacobs, the puzzler.
Soon to be appearing right here on your regularly scheduled program.
And you can catch Noel Brown making an appearance on his show as well, The Puzzler. Big, big thanks, of course, to Jonathan Strickland, a.k.a. The Quister. I got a cat in the way. Keep it in, Max. Big, big thanks to Jonathan Strickland, a.k.a. The Quister, famously the guy who will show up as an adult at children's Easter egg hunts and compete with him.
We'll see you next time, folks. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. That's right.